Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
It is almost back to school time, and we're going to focus on Spotsylvania schools this morning. Dr. Scott Baker is in this morning. Dr. Carol Flanard is here, and Renee Daniels here from Spotsylvania County Schools. Good morning, everybody. Thanks morning. For coming in.
Good morning.
Dr. Flanard, this is Dr. Flanard's first time. Dr. Baker, I'll let you introduce Dr. Flanard, and we'll hear from her. We're going to get you right into things. This is like the first day of school, and you instead of sitting in the back of the room, we're going to put you in the front.
Perfect.
Yeah, absolutely. Dr. Carol Flanard is our deputy superintendent and also the chief academic officer for our school system, which is one of the largest in the state, which makes her job especially challenging and important. And Carol can share a little bit more about herself, but one, she's just an outstanding educational leader, and I'm blessed to be able to work alongside her each and every day. She's really been instrumental in helping to lead our instructional teams to plan for schooling in a way that we would have never imagined. But I have great confidence in her, and she has served her entire educational career here in Spotsylvania, beginning as a kindergarten teacher at Lee Hill Elementary, and she has truly grown in this school system. And so I am so glad that she's with me, and I'm glad that she's with us today.
Yeah, it's great to have you here, Dr. Flanard. If you pay any attention to school board meetings, I don't know that we've ever officially met, but I feel like I know you because I see you at every meeting, introducing people or discussing things. What a great background, though, to have been in Spotsylvania County Schools all these years. You've seen a lot of changes.
Yes, sir, I have, and thank you for that kind introduction, Dr. Baker. I have been in Spotsylvania this is my 25th year, and began as an elementary school teacher and then moved to assistant principal, various director levels, and now I'm serving in this role for almost, well, the new title is a year, but the similar role for about 8 years.
When did you know that you wanted to start doing other things besides, you know, being a classroom teacher?
I really started my master's degree in administration my third year of teaching.
Okay, so pretty right away then.
Pretty close. I taught for 5 years before moving and transitioning to the assistant principal level.
Well, it's great that you have, and boy, Dr. Baker, to have someone with you that has such an understanding of Spotsylvania County schools, and especially some of the rural schools in Spotsylvania, has got to be a big help.
Absolutely, and I think that Carol also brings years of really trusting relationships that I think helped me in my transition really 9 years ago when I was an assistant superintendent. And we have always been a really good team, a tandem. Her background has been more in elementary education and mine in secondary. And so I think as a result, we've been able to, I think, complement each other in terms of not only background knowledge, but also in perspectives, and so I have great confidence and trust in her counsel, and I do think that her background in the school system has really helped us in terms of how to navigate many different situations.
Well, speaking of situations, boy, Dr. Flanard, I would think, I mean, you understand what's going on with at every level, everyone is so anxious, whether you're teachers or your parents or your students, but especially at the elementary level, I think. I've run in and heard from some parents in the past week who have kindergartners and are just trying to figure out how, you know, a virtual kindergarten is going to work.
Absolutely, and that's a subject that's near and dear to my heart after serving in the kindergarten role for 3 years. That first year, that first experience, yeah, is so significant in forming the proper relationships with the school and family connection. And it's our kindergarten teachers understand that and are willing to go the extra mile to really make sure that they are connecting with their families. They're calling each and every one, meeting socially distanced face to face if they can. if parents are able to, so that they are truly going the extra mile to try to set that foundation for schooling, because we know the importance of that.
All my kids were in Spotsylvania County Schools, and especially at the elementary level. And I can remember kindergarten. I remember all their kindergarten teachers and going. It's such a big time. But there's such, at least in Spotsylvania anyway, it really is a community, and at the elementary school level especially.
It is.
And this will be a challenge.
It is a challenge. I do think it is one that we were aware of the challenge, so we have put some mitigation strategies in place. All of our elementary schools are actually hand-calling every single family if we have not touched base with them in some way. And we will reach out and connect with them, whether that is on a Google Meet, whether that is an in-person with safe social distancing, or whether it's the good old-fashioned phone call, that we are reaching out to every family that we can.
Well, and the first day of school is such a big deal, and I'm sure Monday that it's going to be a big deal, and you want parents to make it a big deal.
That's right, and we want them to be excited with their new school supplies. When you're an elementary student, that you get very excited about having the new pencils and the new crayons and all those things, and so we want to make that special for them and realize that there's all that newness is. Sure, it's going to be different, but it is still an exciting time.
You know, and Ted, I think back when we, I think I had spoken with you months ago when we were, like many, doing a different take on high school graduations.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember thinking at that time that it was not what anyone had initially imagined or had hoped for. But a lot of the feedback that we received, while I think many students and families want the kind of the broad, you know, large-scale socialization and gatherings and things of that sort, whether it be graduation or even that first day of school when everybody just comes together. You have a lot of kids in cafeterias and auditoriums, and those are just, you know, traditional things that we have embraced over the decades. But one thing that I believe is an opportunity for us, as Carol was talking about, there are also a lot of kids who get very anxious about that kind of experience, you know,
mm-hmm.
being in such large groups, and I think we have an opportunity to personalize relationships and learning at the outset this year in a way that maybe previously we couldn't have, and I think that is obviously looking for the silver lining in a very difficult situation. But I am, like Dr. Flanard said, I have witnessed it in going out to our schools. I can't believe the level of preparation that I'm seeing from our teachers, from our principals, and it is much more than would ever go into a traditional school year. The level of work and preparation and really struggle, but I am so impressed with our team's attitudes about the whole thing.
We didn't take a quick break, but I want to follow up on that a little bit more, because yeah, it's been incredible to see. Renee Daniels, Dr. Flair mentioned having you know new pencils and paper and things. You were collecting supplies over the weekend at Treasure House, and that continues. The Spotsylvania Education Foundation is offering you can make some donations and help the school system there.
Absolutely. We did have our annual school drive on the 8th, which was Saturday. Thank you so much for our community who brought out donations. We're boxing them up and getting them out to the schools today and tomorrow so they can have them to distribute next week. But it is ongoing. We are definitely accepting monetary donations online at our foundation's website, and that's located at sef4education.org. And you can donate there. But if you're collecting donations, you can also drop them off at the school board office, and we'll take care of getting them to the school, or you can take them directly to your local school.
Renee Daniels is here, Dr. Carol Flanard, and Dr. Scott Baker, Spotsylvania County School. Spotsylvania begins on Monday. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubert.
We are talking Spotsylvania County Schools and back to school this morning. Superintendent Dr. Scott Baker is here. Deputy Superintendent Dr. Carol Flanard and Renee Daniels here this morning with Spotsylvania County Schools. But Dr. Baker, you and I talked really every couple of weeks almost, every 2 to 3 weeks all summer long. I guess at this point, you do get to the point now of let's go, and any of the things that you're not planning for will become apparent. You can figure them out over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, that's right. I think you probably listened to a couple of board meetings earlier this week, and in both cases, I think there was we were trying to give the sense that, you know, we are ready, we believe, for Monday. But what does ready mean? Does it mean that every single thing is perfect and sewn up? And no. Unfortunately, that's never the case, even in a traditional school year. But I think that the way we've mapped out our start with the first week really being about establishing those routines, connecting with families, building relationships, it's not, I think there's always that worry from the equity perspective, will students immediately get behind, you know, in terms of their learning and whatever is being taught in that content or that grade level. And we intend to not let that happen, mainly by making sure that we have connected with all of our kids and families. And then as we go into that second week, even as we begin to ease into instruction, we will continue to expect all of our teachers and schools to make adjustments to support our kids. Because I think what's more important now than ever is the whole child approach, which includes that social emotional learning, not necessarily just let's make sure that we keep up with a very fast paced curriculum.
Yeah. Okay. As we it was Dr. Flanard, was yesterday the day that people found out a lot about it? It seemed like I started to hear yesterday, at least around here, who have students started to get schedules and in that kind of thing. By now, should everyone have at least a little bit of an idea what's going on?
Yes, all of our schedules were completely online through their parent view at 4 o'clock yesterday at evening. So that was the floodgates were opened on what classes do I have, who is my teacher for those classes. And so that's really why you had heard so much, because it was 4 p.m. we flipped the switch and it went live.
There was just so much chatter yesterday, and I think at all levels there are. We were talking about elementary, but boy, high school there are things. One of the things I know, Dr. Baker he and I talked about it, and when in all the meetings, and especially lately, I guess one of the things to remember is what parents and students dealt with in the spring is not going to be this. It is different now. In the fall, it's a whole different setup.
That's correct. It is very different, and we like to sort of describe the spring as we were in a reactive mode.
Yeah.
We really did not have or anticipate the fact that we were going to be closed for the entire school year from an announcement. So we were in a reactive state, and when you are in that reactive state, we certainly put a lot of pieces together and tried to support our students, but we had already covered 90 to 95% of the curriculum. And half of that quarter would even have been SOL tests. So we really were well positioned as far as the content material. But that being said, not all students were required to participate. And so when you're not required to participate, we didn't do grading. So those pieces are vastly different than when you think about opening the school year, where new material will be taught. Actually beginning on the 24th. Next week is really about relationships and connectivity and making sure that students know how to access their education and parents are aware. So the beginning of this school year is grading will take place and everyone is expected and we will have attendance every day. So it's just a very different experience. And we are proactive now as opposed to being in a reactive state.
Ted, what Dr. Flanard was just sharing, you know, we had shared really, as you know, two times this week with both our school board and the Board of Supervisors,
yeah.
Because there is that idea that, you know, some had really good experiences at the end of last year, and some felt like they didn't have a good experience from the student and staff perspective. And one other, I think, important piece has been how over the summer and even over the last 2 weeks, the level of professional learning and training that mm-hmm. We've been able to have our teams put together and deliver for our teachers and our staff, I think has positioned us, just as Dr. Flanard was saying, foundation-wise, to be more successful. You know, mm-hmm. we knew that no matter what approach we were going to take, whether it was hybrid, whether it was all distance, that we had to bolster and enhance our distance learning approach and our skill set. And I believe that that's going to be better. Is it going to be, have we arrived after a summer in 2 weeks? No. And we expect that every week we're just going to learn more and we're going to get better at it. And we, again, continue to appreciate everyone's patience. But we really believe that we can make this experience to start vastly superior to what it was at the end of the last year.
Now, I just think of teachers at all levels, whether you're a first year teacher, which, wow, what a way to jump. You'll never forget your first year of teaching, but also teachers that have been for a while, at all levels. It really is, I guess, a challenge to try to coach them and keep them enthusiastic to both to students and as they interact with parents.
I take this opportunity to again compliment our staff and teachers by and large. You know, you never feel like you're saying 100% when you describe this kind of sentiment and attitude. But I can't tell you, Ted, the number of emails, the number of interactions that I've had directly with our teachers, with our principals. And this is not a naive can-do attitude. I think that from the very beginning, our staff was committed to teaching their hearts out mm-hmm. distance-wise, that they wanted to do all they could, whether they were a kindergarten teacher or whether they were teaching senior government. You know, I think that all of them are committed to our students. And I believe that that's going to be sensed, that even when things don't go perfect in terms of the instruction, which they actually don't every day in a traditional environment, I think that... I believe our teachers will get that sense that we are here for our kids and our families across, if they haven't already gotten that across.
I know I always felt that, and not having kids anymore in the school system, the one of the things is, as we have talked over the summer and as I have watched, as everything gets put together, I think sometimes it's been easy for us as parents to just kind of let the school take care of that. If they're having problems, you know, that's what the school's there for. Well, now, as a parent, you do have to be more engaged, and you can't you don't want your child to get behind.
Well, I think the key word that you used, that we've actually been doing a lot of professional learning and training as a division team, but also our schools, on family engagement. And as one of our consultants has frequently reminded us, that communication and engagement are not the same thing. That just because you communicate something to someone in multiple ways does not mean that they receive it the way that you communicated it. So this engagement is much more about a partnership in educating our kids. It's much more about a relationship that is ongoing. And it's deeper than simply, here's what's happening this week or next month or throughout the year. Here's a schedule. Here's books and information. It's actually getting deeper into, here's exactly what we're trying to do in our schools and our classroom, and here's actually how you can help us as a partner. And then on the other end is, what can we do to help you help us in those situations?
Well, in Dr. Flanard, especially, I know especially in the elementary schools, you know, back to school nights, and those, they're just various different things that really made you feel part of that school. You talk about another challenge you won't be able to do those kind of things for a while at least.
Well, or we're doing them differently.
Yes.
So it's not necessarily a traditional back to school night or open house, but we are having opportunities where we have parents coming in at scheduled times in very small groups to meet with their teachers, to meet with their schools, to really even understand how school will even work. So instead of an evening, it's more of a week by a school.
Yeah.
But we are just doing it differently.
If someone hasn't heard from their school or their teacher at this point, and you're starting to get nervous, What should you contact your school, say, today if you haven't heard from a teacher?
We would love for parents and families to contact their schools any day that they need any assistance at all. If they haven't heard from them, please reach out. If they have heard from them and still have questions, please reach out. We are here and open and willing to serve this community.
Dr. Baker, the other component of this, and I know as we talk about students, that and it varies from student to student and school to school, but the special ed students have a, I know you have plans in place for and I've heard from parents of different students that will be going to certain schools.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think what we've also shared is that, again, just like all of our, the vast majority of our students who are identified as regular ed, I'm not crazy about the labels, but students that are identified as regular ed, they are, most of our special needs students will have the majority of their instruction provided from a distance or virtually during this first quarter. However, we do have some populations and programs that virtually impossible to provide what their individualized education plans require and what they need in terms of the supports and learning. We have to provide that in a distance setting and with the proper safety equipment. And the good thing that I believe our teams have done is to make sure that they have spread that out across all of our schools so that it's not concentrated in just one building. So I just talked yesterday with some of our teachers that work with those special populations, students who might be in a self-contained setting for autism or intellectual disabilities. And they told me not only were they so excited that they get to see their kids because they just love their kids. They can't wait to be in person with them, even if there's masks or face shields or, you know, they just can't wait to be with them. But they said that some of those families are just thrilled, you know, the majority are just thrilled to have the opportunity for their kids to still get some of that in-person connection during the first quarter.
Monday's the first day of school in Spotsylvania. We're talking about it this morning with Superintendent Dr. Scott Baker, Deputy Superintendent Dr. Carol Flanard, and Renee Daniels. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 8:30.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station.
ABC News, I'm Inez De La Quatera.
Opinions, we've all got them, and we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We are talking Spotsylvania County Schools this morning. Dr. Scott Baker, the school superintendent, is here along with Deputy Superintendent Dr. Carol Flanard, and Renee Daniels is here from Spotsylvania County Schools. As we look at Monday of being the first day, and again, I go back to really what I remember back in July, Dr. Baker, when you talked about, you know, we're gonna hit this with enthusiasm, and I get that sense. I know that there are a lot of people that are trying to figure out how, parent-wise, how are we going to do this logistically. But I know from students and teachers, you do sense of, despite all of the unknowns, you have to feel good about as you go into, as good as you can feel in this kind of situation.
Absolutely. And I'm an idealist, but I'm also a worrier. And I think my team knows that about me. So I tend to have great belief in what's possible, and I tend to promote that. But I'm always concerned about the various things that we just can't control. But I do want to give not only credit to the process and the team that I've been able to work with, from our staff to our parents, that were especially those part of the task force. But I also want to give credit to our school board. I mean, it's been very obvious that there have had to be many different decisions made across our region, across our state, ones that have had to change course or adjust based on just how difficult and unpredictable this COVID-19 situation has been. But I think that it goes back to what we talked about last time. Our board gathered a great deal of feedback, weighed it all, and made a decision early on that I think gave us kind of that clarity that let's now, we know what we're doing. We're doing something simultaneous. We are going to begin distance, and we know we need to bolster that approach anyway. But we're also going to have some more time to build our hybrid model in a way that we believe we can implement it successfully, hopefully come at the end of the first quarter. And so I think being able to stay steady, even in kind of these big waves of challenge and uncertainty, I think has helped with that. And I also think that our staff really felt like they were heard, as well as many of our parents, when that decision was made. And once it was made, I believe they have been fully committed, as we talked about earlier, to making it work. And so I think we're in a good position, not a perfect position by any means. And like I said, there's going to be bumps and difficulties, and people are going to be unhappy at different times. But I do believe, given that we're going to be one of the first school divisions around that is actually starting school this early,
yeah,
I think that we're going to hopefully, you know, be trailblazers with this.
Talk about what's going to happen as far as either devices or just the internet. It's the internet capabilities, because that's the other thing I think people worry about. What do people need to know about either of those?
Yeah, and I'll start off. Dr. Flanard, actually, our instructional technology team works under her and with her, and so she can give some additional detail. But we know, like many places, we have challenges with broadband internet access for our families in many different locations, specifically in the rural areas. And so we have already been providing hotspots. And as you learned earlier, we are trying to increase both our mobile hotspots and then hotspots that we've ordered that can be actually set to different homes in different areas that really can't get the adequate services. The challenge is that just like everything that we're trying to accumulate right now to help support these programs, they're hard to get in a timely fashion. So yep. What we have done that we talked about a little bit last time, Ted, is that we are offering each of our schools as a hub for parents to bring their children eventually, quite soon in the next few weeks. We ought to have some means of transportation to support some of that. But even on the first day, I know that our schools are working with families to bring their children to the school, either in the morning or in the afternoon, to be able to access the online portions of the learning there. And Dr. Flanard may be able to share a little bit more.
Thank you, Dr. Baker. So how we're really beginning is we are asking our families if they have a device to begin with their device, and then we will certainly backfill any student who needs a device. And then as soon as our computers are coming in, our new computers, we ordered about 8,500 additional devices, and then we will be able to offer all of our students a Spotsylvania County issued device, so we can actually hit the one-to-one that we're hoping to achieve. As Dr. Baker mentioned, we also ordered about 900 hotspots. We do think that they would be more focused towards the western end of the county, just because of the internet access out of that area. However, we do anticipate needing hotspots all over the school division. We have had an opportunity to have 8 of our schools at the last quarter were mobile hotspots themselves. And then we also added 2 more, Berkeley and Livingston Elementary, again, because of the region of where they're in. And then we also have had business donors actually have given us opportunities for mobile solar hotspots. S-Power and Atlantic Builder, as well as our Spotsylvania Education Foundation. And we are using the data that we used from our enrollment verification to determine where's the best place to put those mobile hotspots. So we're really trying to hit it from every angle that we can.
And I'm sure next week when things start, you'll families who think we're fine,
right,
will run into things. And
that's
so
right.
There'll be all those kind of things.
Absolutely. And as any school year begins, we always know that there are bumps, and we'll close those gaps when we identify them. But that is why it is so important for us to make those connections with families, so we can say, what is it you need and how can we help?
And I think that helps, just knowing that if I do live in an area that I might have problems, that there would be a school that my child could get some instruction at, is a great fallback, I would think.
It is. We're excited to really have that opportunity, especially because it'll also let us have an opportunity just to see our kids, and we miss them. We miss our kids, and we're excited to have them back.
You hear that from teachers, though. Dr. Baker mentioned it. You do see and you hear that from all teachers, that's the one thing about all of this that's trying for teachers at every level, from high school to kindergarten.
It is.
Meals. Talk about what's going on as far as meals go.
Absolutely. I'm going to let Ms. Daniels answer that question, because she has some specific information that I want to make sure is provided with clarity.
So over the summer, we were able to do a free distribution of meals, and that actually ends today. If you still need to collect meals, you can do so until noon today. But beginning Monday, it goes back to their traditional meal plan, where we will be offering breakfast and lunch, and they will have to be paid for. Now, our students who did qualify for free and reduced meals, that's still in place. Mm-hmm. And their benefits will extend through September 28th. We're asking those families to go ahead and complete their free and reduced applications now, so we can process those, so there's not going to be any lapse of benefits. And so that is available on our website. You can also reach out to their school and they can get that information to them, but we want to make sure that they're in place for those benefits. And what we're doing new this year is, to help mitigate spread of germs, we are giving every child a scan card, and they will actually be able to use that card, so nobody's having to push buttons and enter anything. They'll just swipe their card, and they will actually be able to receive, on Mondays, they'll get two meals, so they'll be able to take something home, and then Wednesdays, they'll get three meals. So we're just doing the meals Monday through Friday, like you would in a traditional school, and they will be able to pick those up from 10 a.m. until 1 p.m. at the schools.
There are just so many moving parts to all of this, because this is, again, another thing that I don't think you think about, but it's, again, part of the, it's an important part of what you provide.
That's right.
Spotsylvania County Schools, our focus this morning. Dr. Scott Baker is here, Dr. Carol Flanard, and Renee Daniels. Dr. Flanard, you mentioned earlier we talked about grading, and I guess what's the grading? We probably don't have nearly enough time to get into it all, but what do people need to know? You mentioned the first couple of weeks are going to be kind of at least the first week, to kind of get acclimated to things, but how will grading work?
Sure. So grading actually has not changed, and so the way that our families are used to grading at the elementary level, it is a standards-based approach, and at the middle and high school level, they do receive a numeric grade that then translates into what we know as our typical A through F. So the grading itself has not changed. However, we do have opportunities, and we are really looking at making sure students have the opportunity to learn the material. So retakes are available, as well as just really reviewing and reassessing information, because we are really about the learning, as opposed to just sort of an outcome grade itself.
The other thing that the health department is always reminding me, just about shots and things like that. That don't forget about that. We've all been kind of we can forget about those things, but that all still, you still want to keep up on your shots and things.
That is correct. So any of our students that are going to access the buildings themselves do have to have their up-to-date shots. However, they do have a bit of a grace period, according to the Virginia Department of Education, if they are completely distanced. So when they enter in person, everything does need to be in order as far as their shots go. So they may have a little bit of a grace period until the first week if they are 100% distance.
But Dr. Baker, as far as the number of people that will still be even using the schools, that will mean cleaning, and that's an expense, and that there are going to be people involved in that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I what we are seeing because of the we have tried to take a flexible approach in terms of what our staff need in terms of doing their best work or doing their work at all. And so there are staff that are coming in every day, and that is actually the majority of our staff, both our 12-month, 11-month, and 10-month staff. And so what I am hearing and seeing as I go around and speak with our school principals is many of our teachers, the majority, I think, may be using their own classrooms to deliver that synchronous virtual instruction. And as a result, our buildings are going to get quite a bit of usage. And so the cleaning is extremely important, having the necessary equipment there to clean those buildings. And we know, just as we already have, folks are going to have cases. You know, there are going to be cases, unfortunately, in our community that are going to, we're going to have to respond to with additional cleaning, deeper cleaning. And so that is going to be something that, just as it was back in March and April, it's going to be our new reality, our new norm, I think, for quite a while.
Well, and I guess bus drivers will still be, though there still will be the need, as we have talked about, some students in schools, and there will still be the need for some bus drivers.
Yes, we are trying to ensure that all of our staff, regardless of what their particular role has been, are engaged in work that helps us in providing what we're providing with distance learning. And so we will have some transportation needs and opportunities that are going to occur. We also know that all of our staff need to continue to be trained to implement a hybrid model. And so I think we've trained some drivers, and we've trained many of our paraprofessional staff, but that training needs to be ongoing. So while you may not always be physically doing something in a school, that does not mean you're not working, and that does not mean that you are not accessing very important professional development to help you when you are in person working with children.
And as you work so hard to get school going and operating again, you none of us know what this school year is going to look like. And after the first quarter, maybe you go to the hybrid model, maybe you don't. There's still so many that. Unknowns is good. I mean, that's the word for the next school year.
Yeah, and I think the unknowns we talked about earlier, can breed a great deal of anxiety, because we like to have something solid that we know we can count on. We like predictability and certainty and comfort based on just knowing what the next day is going to bring. At the same time, we're trying to balance that with an excitement about what's possible, about learning things that we didn't know we could do, that we could accomplish with our students. And so while there is that, there's many unknowns, I'm a believer that sometimes, there's a quote I've often used, that we can predict the future or we can invent it. And I think that we have an opportunity to help create what the future looks like versus kind of being subject to all those unknowns.
Dr. Scott Baker here this morning, along with Dr. Carol Flanard and Renee Daniels with Spotsylvania County Schools. School starts Monday in Spotsylvania. We'll wrap this up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Shue.
Spotsylvania County Schools are focused. Dr. Scott Baker, school superintendent here, along with Dr. Carol Flanard and Renee Daniels. So as we talk about cleaning schools, Dr. Baker, and just we talk about Chromebooks, all of this stuff, this is... things cost money, and the budget that you first proposed last winter, and everywhere has changed. Talk a little bit about the funding and just some of the concerns.
Absolutely, we are in a significant downturn right now in the economy, and a lot of uncertainty. When you were talking about unknowns, I think one of the greatest unknowns for us is, how will we be able to maintain the funds and the resources that we need to implement services at a time where really the burden of services and the need for additional resources has never been greater? It is not, I know that sometimes it is comparisons are made between, well, if you're not running buses or you're not doing certain things, then, well, you don't need as much money. Well, I think the opposite is true. While we are getting some savings that we've outlined recently and in various board meetings, those are not permanent savings. Those are just conditional and situational mm-hmm. based on where we are now. But what we must accumulate and what we must invest in to help us to support both distance learning and the hybrid model is actually going to be much greater than what we would typically have planned in our budget for a traditional school year. So I am certainly advocating, and I'm certainly watching very carefully what is happening in terms of all levels of funding, as we are completely dependent on that at the local, state, and national level or federal level. And I am hoping that we continue to receive additional support at all three levels to help us during a crisis time. I'm also a very big believer that when you think of investments, that you think of the long term. You just don't buy something or you don't purchase something just because you think you need it now. You think about the long term and the impact. At the same time, we have to balance both the long-term vision, which we are very big in as far as our school system. We have to look at what do we desperately need, and there is urgency to put in place so that we can do what we are here to do in serving our students. And so some of the recent investments that we've made, where we don't necessarily have it pre-budgeted, we're doing because the crisis was demanding it and requiring it. And at the same time, thinking about when we are no longer in the same level of crisis, how we will then have the supports we need to, take what we're providing to a completely different level.
These are tough times, and I know the school system recognizes that. You have frozen spending when you needed to, and have tracked all of this. So it's not as though you're spending freely in a time of crisis. You're not.
Absolutely. And I still think that there is a significant misconception about educators and people that are working in schools right now not doing as much because of the situation we find ourselves in. From my observations, they've never worked harder. They've never thought harder. They've never worked more collaboratively. They've never been... they've never extended themselves further to try to support our families and children in need than we have over the past several months. And I really anticipate that just going to a completely different level as we move forward. I'm already seeing it. There will be some of our schools that will be distributing materials and supplies within their communities this weekend. They will be going out to homes. Mm-hmm. This is not just a situation where we're going to be distant, so I hope, good luck. This is a situation where folks have, at least figuratively, clasped hands and said, we're going to get through this together. And I just hope that folks know that commitment is really there, and I hope they sense it as we start on Monday.
I am married to a Spotsylvania teacher, and there were many times all summer long that she was virtually having meetings either with other teachers or without doing other kind of professional things. So that did happen. And I will say this, Dr. Baker, to you and to Dr. Flanard and to Renee, as myself being a Spotsylvania County taxpayer, I feel good about the condition of the school and how you spend our money. And I say thank you for that. And having watched and covering just professionally school boards and city council and board of supervisors in the city and Stafford, and seeing how Chromebooks were paid for with no questions. I wish it had been like that in Spotsylvania, but that's my editorial. That's my editorial. But I, as a taxpayer, I'm very pleased with what my kids have experienced in Spotsylvania County Schools and what I see today. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Ted.
Monday, it's the first day of school. We're almost out of time, and I look forward to getting back together and talking about this as school gets going, and especially as we look at what's going to happen virtually in the first quarter and all of that. Superintendent Dr. Scott Baker, Dr. Carol Flanard, Deputy Superintendent, and Renee Daniels. Thank you all. Thank you all for coming in. Good luck on Monday. We'll talk soon. Thanks.
Thank you
for having us.
That is it. We'll see you in the morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg.
the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own, and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.